Okay, so today what I wanted to talk about is just kind of like a current event topic, but I wanted to share with you some of my thoughts and some of what I've been reading in the scriptures that Jesus taught when it comes to loving one another, when it comes to loving those around us. You see, my wife was involved in several mission trips before we got married. And when we got married, we have two children, and we had them right off the bat. They're a year apart, so she was pregnant for like 2 years straight. That put a halt to her mission trips. You know, that put an end to it. But she would always tell me, you got to go on a mission trip. Whenever it would come up or she would see something, it'll change your life. You would love it. You'll never be the same. And I don't need to go anywhere to change my life. I mean, look at my face. I can have all kinds of action just running into walls and stuff. But I was content just doing ministry and staying here in a good old U.S. of A. I was fine with that. I didn't need my life to be changed by going to another country. Well, in 3 weeks, I will be taking a team of ours from the church for the third time to Brazil. So we will be ministering to those who live on the rivers in the Amazon region, as well as distributing some of the water filters that you guys purchased on our Easter offering. So I now have a heart for missions. And I'll tell you what really kind of got me thinking about this. The first time that we went, we were doing some ministry work, and we were in this village, and we split up into groups, and we were going door to door to invite people to a church service we were doing that night. And one of the interpreters said, we were at this house, this hut, and she said, hey, she would like for us to come in and pray for her husband. And then she looks at me and says, you know, Chip, would you like to pray for him? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So we go in, and here is this man. It's 100 plus degrees. He's laying in a hammock, and he doesn't look good. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. But we talked for a little bit, and then as soon as I put my hand on his head, tears just started streaming down his face. And the power of God that was there was electric. And I just prayed peace and Jesus, and, you know, I just prayed a prayer that was coming from my heart. I couldn't even tell you what I prayed at the time. But everybody's crying. You know, his wife, the other family members, it's hot or sweaty. It's the conditions were just blah, you know. But God showed up and changed this man's life, spiritually, I believe. Well, that always stuck in the back of my mind. The next morning, early, I got up and I walked and I took a picture of that house because I just wanted to remember what took place there. But here's the thing that I couldn't help but think. The living conditions that some people experience around the world as opposed to what we have right here in the United States. In the United States, if you're not feeling well, you don't lay, you know, in a 100-degree room hoping that something will help you feel better, or am I going to make it through the next day? In the United States, we go to the doctor. It doesn't matter what your social status is, how much money you have, if you have insurance or not. You will be taken care of. And you will probably be in an air-conditioned building with doctors coming in and nurses checking up on you and taking care of you. And so that's just something that I can see why people want to come to the United States of America. This is the best country on the earth. We have everything that we need. You know, we have homes. Some of us even have homes for our cars. We call them garages. Most of us have air conditioning. We pretty much have what we need. And so that was just something that it's always been in the back of my head, you know. Like we do missions trips to Haiti and Vietnam, and you just see the living conditions that people are living in around the world. When we go to Brazil, I meet some of the nicest people that are living on the river. They don't have clean water. the food that they have is not what we have. You know, they're catching it, they're growing it. But they're some of the nicest people because that's all they know. And so my wife Kim and I, we do feel called most definitely to minister in our community and the surrounding areas. Absolutely. But we also feel called to minister to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to be filled with this dynamic power. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to share the good news that I have taught you in Jerusalem, which is where they were at, and then in Samaria. And then he says, to the ends of the earth, you will be my witnesses. Jesus said, you will take the teachings that I gave you, and you will take them to the ends of the earth. You will travel and share the good news. Well, Kim and I don't have any plans to travel the world, but we do have plans to preach the good news to the ends of the earth. Well, how is that going to look? How does that look if we're not going to travel around the world? Well, the landscape of this nation right now is changing. We have all kinds of people seeking to come to the U.S., and they're seeking to live better living conditions, a better way of life. You know what they're seeking? It's what we call the American dream. In America, if you work hard and you put your mind to it and you overcome obstacles, you can achieve whatever it is that you set out to achieve. I believe in America, if there is nothing that can stop you from fulfilling your dreams if you have the drive within you to do it. It can be done. And there's a lot of people that around the world that say America's the place to be because they want better living conditions. And America was built on immigrants looking for a better way of life, looking to fulfill the dreams that they have, God-given desires, successful living. That's what this country was built on. All of us, if we trace our family roots, can find out that somewhere down the line, somebody traveled the oceans to come here. Every single one of us. My wife's great-grandparents moved here from Lebanon. My wife's mom is from Canada, and her dad is Lebanese. Her great-grandparents moved over here in the early 1900s, and they didn't speak English. And nobody wanted to teach them. And they had to overcome obstacles of people not wanting them here and being seen as different. But one of the memories that Kim has growing up is the Lebanese culture that she was a part of, that her family was a part of. It's a large family. Her dad's side of the family is a large family. And the culture is family, honor, respect. She would go to picnics where everybody would come and they'd have all the Mediterranean foods that they cook and all of this stuff. And those are good memories that she has growing up. And we have many people in our church who are here because they have sought the American dream. Fiona, who leads worship here, recently became a U.S. citizen. We have Rowena, who moved here from the Philippines and is a successful business owner. We have Italy represented in the front with Henry and Ivana and the whole Diani family. And we also have, you know, Ethiopia represented here, Nigeria, Liberia, Ghana, Caribbean, many different nations here. And so I am honored by that. I am honored to get to know people from different countries, and I enjoy learning of the different cultures, and I enjoy getting to build friendships with people and getting to understand what it was like living in the country they came from and what it is like living in America now. You know, these walls that have been built and put up between different people groups are not as thick as you think if you just build friendships. If you are intentional on building friendships, you can break down those walls. And I, for one, am choosing love over anything else, because that's what Jesus taught. You see, you can do some history on immigration. It doesn't take much. I don't really read books anymore except for the Bible. I just go to the Google library. Just Google history of American immigration. Some of the sites are like kind of mind-boggling stats, and some of them are like good reads of the history of the immigration here in America. But from the 1790s on up to the present time, there have been waves of different countries and different people groups who have sought to come to America. And during these different waves, there have been people here who said, I'm adamantly opposed to them coming to my country to live. And there have been other groups of people who said, come on in. We want to love you. So the polarization of this topic that we see today is nothing new. And so the decision you have to make is, which side of the fence do I want to be on? I wonder how much the media, social media, because memes speak the truth now, right? And our politicians have blurred our thoughts on this whole topic. Are we actually doing are we actually investing some time to seek the truth over this? Or are we just posting something that we see that we're like, uh-huh, yes, that's it, right there. Where are we at on this topic? And just so you know where I'm at on this topic, I do believe in secure borders. I do believe that we have a problem on our southern border that needs fixed. I do believe that the process of becoming a U.S. citizen needs fixed. It takes years and thousands of dollars to go through the system to become a U.S. citizen. But I also do believe in abiding by the laws of the land. But I do believe that it's possible that we could have a move of God in this nation to see people from different countries coming into his kingdom. And I want to be a part of that. I'm not going to miss out on a move of God when it comes to helping people understand how much he loves them. And the reason that I believe this is because we all have something in common. Every single human being on this earth, no matter what our belief system is, our faith system, our ideology, whatever it is, we all have something in common. We all have a creator. We were all created by God, equally created in his eyes, and seen as a masterpiece that he has created. He loves each and every one of us. And wouldn't it be something if people were coming to America with maybe a different idea in mind, but God grabbed a hold of them and they became believers in Jesus, understanding who they actually are in Christ. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of ushering that kingdom in to people's lives. You see, before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples, teach everyone everything that I have taught you. Everything that I have taught you, I want you to tell everybody. the things that God has done for me, the ways that he has changed my life, I want people to know about that because he can do the same for you. And so, one of the things that he taught was to love others. Jesus walked in love. Think about this. Who was the guy who betrayed Jesus? Judas. Judas was the treasurer amongst the 12 disciples. Do you think that Jesus was caught off guard with Judas? Come on, he knew. But he chose to love him clear up to the end. If we choose to love, things won't be so blurred. So here is something that Jesus taught in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and it'll be on the screen there. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Are you catching a theme there? Two sentences, three times, he says, love one another. This is the kind of love that makes people feel welcome. If you look at somebody and you choose to love them before you make a decision on who they are, loving one another unconditionally the way Jesus loves, this is the kind of love that puts others first. This is the kind of love that makes people feel valued. But this is also the kind of love that can be a challenge. This is the kind of love that can take us out of our comfort zone. With all the different people groups represented in our country right now, how well are we able to love one another the same way Jesus loves us? Or has our political lens been blurred with our biblical lens? Everything that I do, all of the decisions that I make, no matter what, if it's got to do with finances, ministry, relationships, marriage, everything is filtered through God's word, filtered through the Bible. I seek what's in the Bible first. So this is the top filter. My political lens is under that. It's not the other way around. So we have to understand what the Bible says about things. And then, just to go a little step further, as far as loving other people, see, again, what does the Bible say? What can I find out in the Bible about this? How did the early church do this? Because they were persecuted. You know, the disciples, when Jesus was on that cross, they scattered. They were scared. They were afraid. And these weren't wimpy guys. But then when they saw him rise from the dead, they became bold. And they shared the good news. But they did it. And it cost them their lives. But they weren't afraid of that. So in Acts chapter 2, how did the early church do it? Loving one another unconditionally. Here's what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Attending church daily is what they did in the temple. That was their church. They went to church every day. For us, once a week is good. But that's what we do. We go to church once a week. We come here so that we can hear from God, so that we can get recharged for the next week, so that we can have fellowship with one another, so that we could learn. And we can take what we learn and we can implement in our lives out there, in our jobs. This right here should not be separate from what happens out there. What we learn in here on Sundays should seep through our pores and become a part of who we are. People should know who we are by the fruit that we bear, by the things that we teach or the things that we learn here in church, and the interactions that we have with each other. So they went to church. Then they broke bread from house to house, eating with gladness and simplicity of heart. Man, that just sounds like fun, doesn't it? They went from house to house, hanging out, eating meals, having communion, sharing their lives with other people. That's what they did. Well, how did the church add daily? How did the church add daily to that? I'll tell you how they added daily to that. If it was my house and all my church friends were coming over, and I knew that the day before, the week before, people were getting saved and learning who Jesus was, I would invite my friends. Listen, come on over. It's going to be fun. Oh, man, Ivana's coming over, and she's going to cook all this food, and you're not going to want to miss that. That wasn't in my notes, just so you know. I know whenever there's an event here at the church and Mark Poland's like, we got Ivanka, and I'm like, Kim, cancel the plans. We're going to that meeting. But you know, there was something that was valuable that they wanted their other friends to learn about. And there was something going on. You know, how does it feel when you go out and have dinner with your friends and you're just relaxing? And you're glad. This is with gladness and simplicity of heart. You're just hanging out. Walls are coming down. You're sharing your life with somebody else. You're eating food. It's a cookout. Whatever. Potluck. Something. And maybe they invited their friends that didn't know Jesus. And because of the love that they felt in that home, people made a decision, and they said, you know what? I want what you guys have. I want to be a Jesus follower too. This is good stuff. My life has changed. And by doing this, living this kind of life, the Bible says they were praising God, and they found favor among all people. How about that? How about the way you live your life as a believer is such a way that people talk so good about you when you leave the room because you walk the walk and talk the talk. And you don't see people for how others might see them. You see people the way Jesus sees them. Who's going to talk bad about you then? You can't talk bad about somebody like that when they leave the room who loves unconditionally. That is how you find favor with people. That is how God blesses you. The Lord goes before you, and he stays there when you leave the room. This is what life with Jesus looks like. This right here. And this is the kind of life that will change people's lives. This is the kind of life that will create encounters with God. And this is the kind of life that will build lifelong friendships. And I believe with all my heart that this is what Jesus wants us to do in this nation right now. Nobody can disagree with me that there's stuff has gone awry at the top and it's working its way down, right? But all it takes is some people down here to change the lives that we live in and to change who we see with, to change their lives too. As human beings, this right here is the kind of fellowship that we crave. People want to feel accepted. People want to feel loved. And wouldn't it be great if they not only knew that another human being loved them and accepted them for who they are, but they found out that they were created by a living God who wants to have a relationship with them. Talk about an added bonus. There's power in knowing Jesus. There is power in being a follower of His. And it is that power that can break down barriers and walls and divisions between people. That is, I believe that is what it takes. So, in closing, there are 59 verses in the Bible that are referred to as one another verses. I'll rattle some off. There's five up on the screen. You can look them up. John 13, love one another. Romans 15, accept one another. Galatians 5, serve one another. Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another. Hebrews 3, encourage one another. Romans 12, honor one another. Ephesians 4, be kind to one another. But there's 59 of these one another verses in the New Testament. Do you think that God is trying to tell us something about how we are supposed to treat one another? Honor, respect, caring, loving. It's important to God. It is very important to Him. And I just want to encourage you and maybe even challenge you to dig into the scriptures about that so that the lines aren't blurred, that our biblical lens says care for, love, encourage, lift up one another. We can do that all day long with people we see here on Sundays. Let's do it out there in the world. This is what breaks down barriers between people. I promise you. And if you buy into this, which I hope you do, it means that you might have to change some of your personal preferences. You might have to move beyond that. And God's going to bless it too, though, when we engage others who we see as different than us. God will bless it. He'll bless that friendship. And it's risky. It may take you out of your comfort zone. But if there's anything that I've learned about being a follower of Jesus, you don't get to stay comfortable for very long. That's the adventure. That is the adventure with Him. And it's so fun to allow Him to shape you and mold you into the person that He sees you as. Don't let the world shape you and mold you into the person the world wants you to be. And if we do this, we'll see people the way Jesus sees them. And we'll have compassion on them the way Jesus has compassion on us. Putting God first, just like the early church did. Enjoying the company of other people. Keeping life simple and praising God will bring favor with others. And most importantly, that is what will draw people into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I just thank You, Jesus, so much for who You are. You know, I'm reminded of when Jesus was hanging on the cross, nailed to that cross. He looked out at the people. They were mocking Him, scoffing Him, cussing Him out, calling Him names. And He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You talk about loving others who see you as being different. Jesus saw past it all. He saw people for human beings created by God. And God wants everybody into His kingdom when it's all said and done with. And He wants us to be a part of that. Thank You, Jesus. Father, I pray for those who may struggle with this a little bit. It can be struggling. I pray for those, God, who are like, yes, I'm in. I'm embracing this. I just pray Your blessings amongst our church right here, God. That lives would be changed here at Vineyard Community Church so that we can change the world in our community. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Okay. All right. Can you guys turn the lights on? Oh, there we go. I can see your beautiful faces. Well, listen, you know, sometimes I know that messages like that are, you know, maybe they're a little tough to swallow. But while I was worshiping here, and also these particular lyrics that were on the screen, do you know what keeps us from walking in love? Fear. Fear keeps us from walking in love. Do you think Jesus walked in fear? Do you think Jesus didn't know that there were people that wanted to harm him? Did that keep him from doing what he was sent here to do? Jesus walked in love. And he used wisdom. And so what I want to do is I just want to pray. I want to pray for us as a church. I think, you know, fear has gripped a lot of people in our country, and that we aren't seeing the full potential that God sees in us because of that. And a passage came to mind during worship to me. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. Who can harm you for being a follower of what is good? Who can harm you for being a follower of what is good? If you choose to love, the Bible says, who can harm you? We got to choose love. If you're into this and you want to walk in love, or maybe you're struggling with some things, you know, about this whole thing, can you just show me where you're at? Just put your hand up. I want to pray just a blessing of empowerment. And also just a blessing of if you're saying, God, I struggle with this, be honest with him. Let's get that dealt with today. Let's let God change your mind on some things. Does that speak to anybody here? Amen, brother, right there. Anybody else in the back? Awesome. Anybody else? Let me see your hands. Come on, there can't just be a couple people here. Amen, up front here. Anybody else? I want to walk out of here differently than when you came in. I'm going to walk out of here empowered. The same power that Jesus walked in. Love, wisdom, life-changing. And then also, just one more thing. You can't talk about Jesus all morning long and not give somebody an opportunity to invite him into their lives. And if you're feeling that, you know, I need Jesus. This is what I need. Guys are having fun up here, and I need that. What I'm going to do in a second here is just ask you to raise your hand, just like I did the others, so I can see where you're at, and then we're going to pray a prayer for you so that you can encounter Jesus the same way I have, the same way Fiona has, everybody up here has. So if that's speaking to you, you want to say, Jesus, I want you in my life today. Can I see where you're at? Hands in the back. Amen, man. Good for you, brother. Woo! Anybody else? Anybody else? Over here in the front? Awesome. Good deal. Anybody else? Come on, man. Don't walk out of here without letting God touch you, man. You got two hands over here, one in the back, one in the front. Anybody else? Hold them up high. Right here. All right, brother. I just met him this morning. Woo! Amen. Good for you, man. Anybody else? Anybody else? Man, Jesus is in the life-changing business. That's what he does for the better. Anybody else? Over here? All right. Good. Amen. Good for you. This is awesome. Anybody else? Come on, man. We just had our first good weather yesterday. This is going to be a good weekend for you guys. I'm happy for you. So glad. So glad. Well, let's pray this prayer together, a simple little prayer. And then afterwards, we'll have some people at the Next Step table. They'll have a little package for you. It just has a little information. Just gives you a little something about Jesus and the church and stuff. So join with me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for reaching out to me today. And I want to invite you into my life. Teach me what it means to live life with gladness of heart. Forgive me of my sins and walk this life out with me. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Awesome, man. Woo! Good for you guys. Best decision you'll ever make. So, awesome. Well, listen, we're going to close out with one more.